Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.
Well, let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. That's where we left off last Sunday. We're going to be in this chapter for some time. If you want to take the opportunity to read through it, you'll gain more from the chapter. I can promise you that, and pray over it. But we've looked at verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we've learned that faith is the evidence or the sure ground and confidence of things that we cannot see with the natural eye. And last Sunday, we learned that those things were primarily the precious promises of God, the things that God spoke to the ones that are mentioned in this chapter. And as we come this morning to verse 2, "For by it," and that is by faith, "the elders obtained a good report." Now, the elders here are not preachers. We use the term elder to describe the ministers of the gospel in our churches. We know that sometimes we're referred to as pastors. They're also referred to as bishops. And we refer to them as elders. But here the word is used to describe the old ones. The elders are the old ones that are mentioned in this chapter, as well as in other places in the scriptures. And so the writer is telling us, by the faith that we've already talked about, the old ones, or the ones that he is about to mention in this chapter, obtained a good report of God. Now, the chapter began by telling us what faith is, how we believe and anticipate the promises of God, and how that we begin to hope for those things. And now the writer begins to delve into something that goes beyond our knowing or our hearing. He begins to talk about that phase of faith that I mentioned to you when I was talking to you about the three phases of faith. This is the active part of our faith. We can know something, we can understand something, we can believe something, but yet we may not act upon it. And so the elders that he's speaking about here that we're about to read about in the coming Sundays, these are the ones that acted upon the things that God had told them. And for us as Christians today, it's very important for us to act upon the things that God has given us. Now, when we look at this word, "they obtained a good report," and this is the only verse we're going to deal with this morning. Verse 2, "For by faith the elders obtained a good report." Because when I begin to look this up and look at it, the three words "obtained a good report" are actually translated from one Greek word. And that Greek word, and I'm going to try to pronounce it, martyreo, is the word in which we get the word martyr. So it's by faith that the old ones, they became martyrs for God. It's translated in many places in the scriptures, and as I looked through the New Testament, at the many times this word was used, it's used 79 times in the New Testament. Now, that's a lot of times for one word to be used, isn't it? And so when I thought it's been used 79 times, I realized just how important that this word is to God. 25 times it means to bear a witness. 19 times it means to testify. 13 times it means to bear a record. 5 times it just means a witness. And another twice it means to be a witness. It means to give a testimony, to have a good report, and then there's miscellaneous translations 11 times. The total count is 79 times. So we could read the word like this if you wanted to read this passage of Scripture. The elders, they bore witness, they gave testimony, they bore record of God of the things that He said. And so the primary meaning of the word, though, is to be a witness for God. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning, is by faith, the elders are the old ones that are mentioned in this chapter and elsewhere in the Bible, that they were witnesses for God. Now, this is the primary theme of the book of Acts. If you've ever read the book of Acts, you're going to find that they were witnesses, or they bore witness to something over and over again. And we as Christians today, if there's any job that we have in our lives as God's people, this is the word that we would want to use, that we are witnesses for God in a very dark and unfriendly world. Now, being a witness is not a difficult job. A witness, if you were to be called into a courtroom and they wanted you to be a witness, and you were placed upon the stand, the only thing that you have to do is to tell what you've seen and what you've heard and what you know. We're not required to do anything else. That's just what God has told us, and that's what we are to be as Christians. We are to tell what we know and what we've seen and what we have heard from God. And so that's what they did in their lives. And so you may say this morning, there's some wonderful people in this chapter, but I don't know if I can build an ark myself. Well, if God didn't call you to build an ark, then He doesn't require that of you. He only requires us to do what He has given us ourselves. And another way to say it is, as Christians, we are to live up to the light that God has given us, not beyond it. If God's giving you light on something, and I say this over and over again, please live up to the light, at least the light that God has given you as one of His people. And so as we go through this, I hope that perhaps you might find something in your own personal life that you know that God has given you, that you have light upon, that you've never acted upon in your life. And as we go through this chapter in this book, that you'll act upon that light that God has given you. Now, there's also the subject of false witnesses. You know, a false witness tells lies, don't they? They do not tell the truth. If you have a courtroom, you always want somebody to get to the bottom of the case. You always want somebody to tell you the truth. And so in Proverbs chapter 12, Solomon writes, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness, deceit." And again in chapter 14, "A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." And so you think about that in the terms of Christianity and about ministers of the gospel. A faithful preacher will tell you the truth whether the world agrees with it or not. And not only that, a faithful preacher will tell you what you don't want to hear. They will step on your toes. They will tell you something that you may need to hear that may help you in your Christian walk. But they're not going to tell you something that's false, that they may gain more popularity or more money or for any other reason, a faithful witness. And as ministers of the gospel, that's really what our main job is as preachers. We are to be faithful witnesses of Jesus Christ. Now, in Acts chapter 22, where we read there that is speaking about witnesses. We read about how that we as ministers of the gospel are to be witnesses. In chapter 22, verse 14, it says, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know His will and see that just one." Well, who is he talking about here? He's talking about the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, if you look at, you might say, his ordination, when God spoke to him, he didn't say, "I've called you to be the greatest apostle." He didn't say, "I've called you to be a great preacher." The terminology that God uses to the Apostle Paul when he spoke of his calling was, "I want you to be a witness." Listen to it again. "The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know His will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of His mouth. For thou shalt be His witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Again, there's a definition of a witness. Tell what you've seen and what you've heard. And the apostles, when the Lord called him, he was to be a witness. Now that's a very important word to God. It shouldn't be to us this morning. When he begins to describe the greatest apostle that would ever pen words in this book and preach and spread the gospel, he was referred to as being a witness. Well, we find the same for Peter. In 1 Peter 5:1, here's what Peter writes. "The elders which are among you I exhort." Now, there's a place where the word elder is used to describe a preacher. "Who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." So Peter, when he refers to himself, he doesn't refer to himself as a great apostle. He uses the most common term that he can use of what our calling is as Christians, and that is that we are to be witnesses. Now, if you're in a courtroom, who would know what the truth would be unless you have a faithful witness? You know, when we watch these trials on television and we see the different versions of what happened, you're always wondering, who is telling the truth in this situation? And when it comes to the things of God, this book, I believe that we have the general public out here, and they're always wondering, are the Baptists right? Are the Methodists right? Are the Catholics right? Who is telling people the truth? But I will tell you, a faithful witness, regardless of what stripe they may be from, are the ones that are going to tell you the truth of God's Word. And you got a way that you can determine what that is, and that is you can get your book out and you can read it for yourself. Now, God hates false witnesses when it comes to His Word, doesn't He? He wants ministers of the gospel to stand in this place and tell people the truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's one of the scariest things that any minister faces when he walks into this pulpit. He wants to feed the flock of God, but on the other hand, he wants to make sure that everything that he says is true. And that's one of the things that always bothered me when I began to preach and study God's Word and walk up here in front of people that's been in church all their life. And I'm going to try to tell them something from this book, and I want to make sure I'm telling them the truth. And so when I first began to preach, one of the things that I did is I always got everything on the subject I could. I'd read commentaries. Some people don't like commentaries. I like them. I mean, I can throw away what I don't like.
Amen.
I can read and I can get other people's opinions. And that even gives me information for the truth. When I read something and I recognize it's not the truth, I'm thinking, those people are way off base. I got my scripture on this, and I can see how that people can get off on some tangents. But it's a blessing to me. I tried to listen to as many sermons as I possibly could, that I would know what the truth would be. And I'm not standing before you this morning saying that I'm the embodiment of truth. I mean, I don't know all truth, and I know that I can be wrong from time to time. But as I said, you all have a scripture, and you can look it up for yourself. But God hates false witnesses. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he asked, "How shall I inherit eternal life?" Do you remember what his answer was? He quoted the Ten Commandments, by the way. He quoted the first six, which has to do with man's relationship with man. He left off the four that have to do with man's relationship with God. And he said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness." You know, one of the important things in God's eyes for us is to tell the truth, to be honest, but especially to ministers of the gospel. Now, as we go through this chapter, we're going to see a lot of men and women of this character. And it's about women, too, by the way. There's not just men in this chapter. There's some faithful women that are the old ones as well. But I want you to look at some scriptures here in the book of Acts with me this morning. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, because I want you to see how important that this theme is to God and how it plays out in the early church. And why wouldn't it be all through the book of Acts? I mean, the book of Acts is the platform of the New Testament church. You might say it's the launch pad. And if we're looking for a description that defines God's people, I believe we would find it in the book of Acts. So we might say the book of Acts is kind of the briefing room of the beginning of the church. I remember my dad telling me about in World War II, before they would fly a bombing mission, that they would all be called into the briefing room. And they'd get this big map of the world out, and they'd say, "Okay, here's this little spot over here in Germany, and this is where you're going to go today." And to me, that's the book of Acts. It's like, here it is, here's the big map, and here's where you're going to go, here's what you're going to be called, this is your outfit, and here's what you're going to do when you get there. And that's kind of what the book of Acts is to me. So, as we read in Acts, just look at the first chapter and verse 6. We find the apostles asking some questions about the kingdom, and, you know, I'm amazed at men that walk with Jesus Christ and they were still confused about the kingdom. They wanted to know when the Lord was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Now, for those who think that those apostles knew everything about the gospel and things going on in that day, they did not. And they asked some very foolish questions. And so in Acts 1st chapter, verse 6, they said, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" But what did Jesus say to them? How did he refer to them as his people? He said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, that applies to you and I today, my friends. I mean, when he goes to the uttermost parts of the earth, that goes beyond where they were, the places that they actually were able to preach in their lifetime. And so if we're looking for a definition for us today as Christians, we're in that section of the uttermost parts of the earth. We are to be witnesses today. And some people might say, well, I'm a member of the church, but sometimes I just really don't know what I'm supposed to do. This is what we're supposed to do. Amen. You are to tell people what you know, what you've seen, what you have heard. You're to share with them the truth that God has given us as His people. The embodiment of truth that's found within these walls and the doctrines that we believe in, that we are supposed to share with other people. Or sometimes we're afraid to tell people the things that we believe. We assume already, well, they're not going to believe what I believe. But the Lord didn't ask if we thought they were going to believe it or not. He just said we're supposed to share it with them. We're supposed to be a witness of those things. And a faithful witness is even willing to be martyred or to suffer the consequences of sharing with people the things that we believe in. Now, how would it be for me as a minister this morning to come up here and say, well, you know, I'm here this morning, I'm your pastor, but I don't know if you're all going to believe what I'm going to tell you or not, so I'm not going to say anything. Let's just continue the song service this morning and go on from there. But see, my job is to equip the saints. I'm supposed to teach you from this book that you may go out into your work and your families and the places that you dwell. And you share the things that I have given you. And you may say, I don't feel comfortable doing that. Well, you're not supposed to. If you go and tell people things from this book that they're not going to believe, you're not going to feel comfortable about it. God doesn't expect us to be comfortable. But I'm thankful that there were people that shared these things with me. How would I have ever known about this church or the things that we believe in if somebody hadn't told me? Now, if you'd have gone back in my life, before I was a member of this church, you would have said of me the same thing that I hear a lot of you saying about your relatives. Oh, they're in a church and they're not going to believe it anyway. And that's what people would have said about me. It doesn't matter if people are in another church, what they believe, how long they've been there, what their background is. We are still to share this truth with them and be witnesses for Jesus Christ. When the apostles sought to replace the bishopric of Judas, and they brought up the names, they were going to vote on it. Notice the terminology in Acts 1 and 22 that they used for this next person. They didn't say, we're going to cast our lot, and we are going to choose who is going to be the 12th apostle. The language they used was this: beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. That's what they wanted the man to be. Whoever they called, they weren't concerned with his title as much as that he would fulfill his office of being a witness for Jesus Christ. And I believe this, that if we as God's people, if the church ever loses this vision that we are to be witnesses, then I believe we're going to see things happen that are not good in churches. This is one of the primary roles of churches, is to be witnesses. And so if somebody says, I'm going to go out and witness to somebody, great. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a biblical term. We are to be witnesses to everybody around us. We find that the Lord blessed them in their work. In Acts 4:33, it says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on them all. And the Lord blessed them. So we see that these apostles were like the elders. They obtained a good report as well. Now, I think that this is a sad thing to say. It's kind of negative, but it's true. But some Christians, they're not interested in, they're kind of like in the classroom. I know there's kids in the classroom and we've all had friends. They've said, I don't really care about my report card. I just want to graduate. Whatever mark I make is not important to me, just so I get to the next class. And you know, that's just kind of the way it is in Christianity. Many Christians aren't interested in obtaining a good report or making a good score. They just want to get to heaven. As long as they know they feel that they're going to heaven, then that's it. Rather than looking to go beyond just, you might say, mediocrity and fulfilling what this book tells us about. And by the way, you may say, well, you're kind of stepping on my toes this morning. But let me say, how in the world can I preach on a chapter of faith without talking about being faithful? I mean, that's what this chapter is all about. We're not looking for the minimum. This chapter is talking about going further. It's how that we want to please the Lord. And you know, pleasing the Lord, obtaining a good report, there's a great degree of peace that we find in our own hearts. We all want to find ourselves accepted with God, our Father, don't we? And when we feel like that we're fulfilling what God has called us to do, then we can find a great deal of peace in it. And I believe a lot of people are not at peace with God because they know they've not lived up to what God's called them to do. They know they've fallen short. And the answer is simple. And that is to seek out what the light that God has given us and live up to that light. And then we can find peace in our own lives, regardless of how small the job may be that God has given us to do. So I like the saying that one of my friends were talking the other day, and he was talking about growing up and how his father gave him some jobs to do. And he always remembered this saying his father gave him. He said, a job done right is a job twice done. A job undone is a job never done. And so he learned that when he did something for his father, to do it right. And how we should be willing to do that for our Heavenly Father when it comes to obtaining a good report. I like the story I read of a fighter pilot that when he was growing up, his little brother were building this glider. And they had to put it together from sticks and glue and canvas, and they were eager to get it together. And his father gave him the job of gluing the sticks together before they placed the canvas on the wings. And he said, well, I got plenty of glue here. So he just globbed that glue all over the place. I mean, it was all. And his father came and inspected it. His father said, son, you got a little carried away with the glue there, didn't you? And he said, Dad, when we put the canvas over these wings, nobody's going to even notice. But his dad looked at him and said, but you'll know. You'll know the job you did. And so he said he spent the next few months going over that glider and sanding down all of the extra glue. And he said when they put the canvas on the wings, he felt good about it. Now, how about you in your life? Are there some things that you're just kind of globbing around there, but you know it's going to be covered up? Nobody's going to notice it. Rather than doing it right or doing something that would obtain a good report, are you just looking in your life to say, well, I know I'm going to go to heaven, and that's really all that matters to me. I'm not really interested in taking care of things the way the Father has given for me to do. And that's how we find ourselves many times as Christians, that we're not doing the job we should be doing or as we should be doing it. And really, in our own hearts, we know we all want the approval of God. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching to the Sanhedrin. And I want you to notice something. He makes a statement there that I think is a very dynamic statement. Now, we think of the church. When we use the term church, most of us are talking about our modern day, aren't we? And I think in the mind of many people, God never had a church until Jesus came. Listen to me. God's always had a church. His church has always been those that were witnesses to the God that created the heavens and the earth. Not only does God have people today, our primary purpose is to be a witness for God. But in another day, before there was a New Testament church, before there were denominations, before Christianity, there were witnesses for God. God had a witness in the Old Testament. His people that wandered in the wilderness, they were His witnesses in a dark and unfriendly world. Everyone that we read in this chapter was a witness. Adam was a witness. Enoch was a witness. Noah was a witness. They were all witnesses to the fact that there was a God in heaven, that He spoke to them, they believed in Him, and they were going to follow the things that He told them to do. And so as we read this passage in Acts, it's in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Excuse me. Acts 7 and 38. This is Stephen. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Now he refers to God's people. And that's Moses he's referring to, receiving the oracles of God as being a church in the wilderness. And why wouldn't he? I mean, it's a called out assembly that is there to worship God, even though they worshiped in a different way in the Old Testament than we do today. They were still going to church. When they went to offer up the sacrifice, they were going to church. When they met together for whatever reason, all those ceremonies they had, they were going to church. And they were worshiping the God that we believe in today. And he further went in this message. He continues to preach one of the longest sermons in the New Testament, by the way, is this sermon by Stephen. And he says, our fathers, and this is verse 44, had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion. So he speaks of it as a tabernacle in the wilderness as well. Now, another thing about a witness is that witnesses don't usually volunteer for the job. There's a lady that I'm working with right now, she's not the witness, but she is called to go to be one of the jurors in a court, and it's kind of interfering with her job right now, but she was chosen to be so. A lot of times witnesses are chosen. And as God's people, God chose you to be a witness. Now that's kind of important to think that God of heaven looked down and chose you out of all the people in this world to be a witness for Him. But that's an interesting thought, that witnesses are chosen. They're appointed by God. We look at Acts chapter 10 and in verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which He did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. That's Christ. To Him God raised up the third day, showed Him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. I mean, that tells me a little bit about God's foreknowledge right there. About His election. About His sovereignty. I mean, if you're a witness for Jesus Christ today, God chose you to be so before the world was ever spoken into existence. I mean, when you get to thinking about this, if you think about the gravity of being a witness for God, and we understand that God, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that God chose us to be His witnesses of all the people on planet Earth, that we are chosen to do this job for Him, and we want to do it right. The most faithful witness that we read of in the Scriptures, of course, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 54, it prophesied of Him. Behold, 55, I have given Him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. And of course, in Revelation 1 and 5, it speaks a lot about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as being a witness, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Jesus Christ is spoken of as a faithful witness. Now, that kind of terminology is used to describe our Lord. And it's used to describe us as well. We see how important it is for us as witnesses for Jesus Christ. Now, there may be some this morning as I'm talking to you. And I know it's hard. When you preach a sermon, you want to move people. You want to get them a little further along in their experience. But some people may be already checked out and say, well, you know, I really can't live up to this mark. Look at these fine people in the Hebrews chapter 11. And really, that chapter is about them. It's not about me. I'm living around here today. And, you know, God doesn't really expect me to build an ark. Well, you don't know. I mean, he may ask you to build one day. You don't know what God's going to do. This chapter is not just for Noah and Abraham. It's for you and I, my friends. It's for us. And you may say, well, they were better people than me. Those people were, they were just these perfect people. But you know, when you get to looking at it, God, He uses sinners. And sometimes He uses the worst of sinners. So if you're checking yourself out and saying, well, you know, I'm too much of a sinner to really be any kind of a witness. No, not so. The Lord's not going to let you get out like that. You know, you look at Noah. Noah had his moment when he stepped off the ark, didn't he? He planted a vineyard and became drunken. Abraham went into his handmaid and tried to fulfill God's promises on his own. He lied to protect his own skin when he thought that Pharaoh was going to take his wife. Sarah laughed at God initially when God gave her the promise that she was going to bear a son. And then asked her, did you laugh? And she said, no, I didn't laugh. But you know, somewhere between there and the time she conceived, she got some faith about the matter, didn't she? You look at Jacob. He's going to be mentioned in this chapter. He lied to his old father. I mean, you're thinking you can't, you're not good enough to fulfill this job. I'm telling you. We're just as good as they are. Moses broke all 10 commandments at one time. He threw them down and broke them. I mean, you look at some of the things they did and you recognize that those people were not perfect. God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for us. He doesn't need any perfect people because there aren't any. If He had to use a perfect person, there would be no witness today. Rahab lived a life of a harlot until she was found of God's people. Gideon made some mistakes. He was a coward in the beginning. In the end, after everything happened, he kind of went on his own way a little bit. So don't use the devil's excuse of being an imperfect sinner to be a faithful witness of God. God's used the greatest of sinners to serve Him most. Remember Saul of Tarsus, who put Christians to death? How would you like to have that record this morning? And you put people to death in the name of Christianity or in the name of God, you think, and you find out you were wrong, and then God calls you to be, as we've read in the book of Acts, He's called you to be a witness, and you're going to say, Lord, you got the wrong man. Look at the things I've done. You won't want to use me. Go get one of those priests up there that's been living the perfect life. Let them be a witness. No, my friends, you're qualified this morning. The fact that you belong to God, you're qualified. The fact that you belong to God this morning, you're one of His elect. If you feel like you're a child of God, you are a witness. The question is how well are you going to glue your wing on? How well are you going to do the job? That's the question this morning. That's what the Lord's interested in. So the best definition of a Christian or of God's people, whether you speak of them today in this life or in the Old Testament, is that we are witnesses for Jesus Christ in a very dark and unfriendly world. Now, let me just conclude my remarks this morning and bring this home to you a little bit. But as a minister, you know, you expect me to be a witness, don't you? You want me to go out and share what you believe with other people. And you want me to maybe write some things, have a radio broadcast, whatever I can do to get people into this church. But do you recognize that that's just as much your job as mine?
Amen.
It's just as much your job. As a matter of fact, it's more so yours than mine. Because I believe that the church becomes a militant church. And there's people in a church that are inviting and bringing people to church and sharing the things that they believe in. You'll see a church prosper and you'll see it grow. Now, I'm supposed to do that. I agree with you. And it's, I think it's kind of in the blood of a minister of the gospel. I mean, our bones are on fire to share the truth of God. I mean, we're just looking for an opportunity to tell somebody that what we believe in. But they expect it from us. You know, you tell somebody you're a preacher and they say, well, what do you believe? And that just opens up the door. But, you know, when you tell them that you're a Christian, you want to share the things you believe with them. And whatever avenue that you may have. I appreciate Brother Paul Bowen. He's not here this morning, so I can talk about him. But you know, he's in the nursing home, assisted living. And he shares what we believe in with people there. He carries his computer with our sermons from door to door. Now, there may be some people shaking their head, no, y'all not do that. They're not going to do that. But he does. I'm thankful for him that he goes and shares what we believe. And you may say, well, they're not going to become a member of your church. So what? They've got truth. Somebody is willing to step out there and try to glue the wing on right and do something to share the truth of God's Word. And that's why I make the things available to you that we write here, the doctrines of grace, all of that are things for you that you can take. In case you don't want to talk, you can say, here, here's what we believe in. I know some people are shy, but you know, you can still share with other people, and they may throw it away and not believe it. But if there's anything in my message this morning, I would try to encourage you to be faithful to the life that God has given you, to share it with other people, to recognize that God has called you. And then that's a special thought, to think that God even thought upon you in any way, that God even knows your name, and to recognize that He has given you some truth. And I would ask you this morning also in closing, do you really believe in anything? I mean, if somebody asks you, do you believe in election? Do you believe in that? Do you believe in predestination? Do you believe in the sovereignty of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I mean, do you have any conviction at all about God and His Word? Do you stand for nothing or believe nothing? Or do you stand for something and believe something? Now, you can ask some men some things about hunting or fishing, and they're going to tell you what they believe. You can ask some women about some things as well. They're going to tell you what they believe. It's amazing how that we can be so firm in these other things that we're going to tell people about, that we've got such knowledge about, and we're so dogmatic about it. But when it comes to the things of God, some Christians believe in nothing. They just stand for nothing. I'm thankful Jesus Christ wasn't like that. I'm thankful the apostles weren't like that. I'm thankful the preachers down through the centuries weren't like that, that they believed something, they stood for something, and they vocalized something. And all these in this chapter, they stood for something. They believed something. You could ask them what they believed. They told you. And they were able to verbalize it. So as being witnesses this morning, we need to be people that actually believe something. Now, when you first come to the church, you really may not have those things firm. You know, you're looking for questions, answers. You're trying to form your belief. And I know that was the way it was for me, that I tried to form something in my mind that I really believed in. And I was hit with a lot of things I'd never heard of before in my life, like some of the doctrines I've already mentioned. And I began to think, are these things true? If they are, then I need to believe them. I need to stand for them. I need to have a mind about it and find out who's telling the truth out. Who's the faithful witness? Who's the false witness? And you may be there this morning, but I encourage you, believe something. Stand for something. Know something. Be firm about it. Come to some solid and firm belief in the things that you believe are true. So I hope this has been a blessing for you this morning. Verse 2, for by it, which is faith, the elders obtained a good report. I would love for that to be said about Harmony Church, about every member here, about myself. I don't feel like I'm doing that great most of the time. But I'm still knocking away at it and trying to move, at least move forward a little bit. And I trust the Lord will bless you to do so as well. You're qualified, my friend. God loves you, and you're qualified to do the job. If you're here this morning, you'd like to be a part of this church by letter of baptism, we give you the opportunity as we stand and sing.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.